So the reading will be Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 6 to 17.
One to four in Leviticus, yes. Okay. Leviticus chapter 1, the law of burnt offerings. Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it, a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf." It's now 1 Chronicles 29, starting at verse 6. "Then the rulers of the father's households and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with the overseers over the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service of the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, and 10,000 talents of silver, and 18,000 talents of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. Whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jael the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours."
Let's have a further word of prayer, please, shall we? Lord, as we come to your word, we want to submit ourselves to you. Thank you that it is your prerogative to speak to us and to take your word and to write it upon our hearts. Lord, we want to submit ourselves to that anointing which you alone can give for my speaking and for all of our hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us, which many of you weren't, on Good Friday, you will have heard a clear and helpful explanation of the opening six chapters of the book of Leviticus, in which Max explained to us about the five offerings that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to reiterate some of that before progressing to something, to another offering, or to one aspect of one of those offerings. But just before I do, I want you to imagine, please, that you are a Jew. in the wilderness. You may prefer to imagine yourself as a Gentile who has chosen to join himself to one of the people of God, to the people of God. And you are in the wilderness and you are encamped round in a big rectangle. And in the middle, the focal point of this huge community is a tent. And that is where you are told that God can be met. That is where God can be found. What is more, it's not just what you have been told, but there you see a cloud and you see a pillar of fire. And so you know that is where God may be approached. But you have a problem because you know your own sin. And so you unwittingly commit a sin, and perhaps you do it again and again, and you realize that you need to get right with God. So what are you going to do about it? You need to make an offering. And the fifth, and I'm going to take those five Levitical offerings in reverse order. So you have committed a trespass or a fault and you are guilty. Thank God there is an offering for our guilt. And so what you would do is you would go to that tent and you would try and find a way in. And the whole way around it was a curtain. So whichever way you tried to get in, you wouldn't be able to do so. Thank God there was a doorway. And the Lord Jesus is described in the New Testament as the door. So you go into that door, and there, right at the door, was this great big altar called the altar of burnt offering, and that is where you could make your sacrifice for your trespass. So you make your trespass offering, and you go away, and your guilt is gone, and you have a clean and a clear conscience. Hallelujah. The only trouble is, the next day you do it again. And the next day after that. So you're continually coming with the awareness that you are prone to sin. And there is a realization that comes upon you. That it's not that I just commit these trespasses. But actually there's something fundamentally wrong with me. There's something fundamentally flawed. It's called the sin principle. It's called iniquity in the Bible. And so you realize actually you need an offering not just for the trespasses that you do, but for your very sinful nature. So you go to the altar of burnt offering again, and this time you bring a sin offering, which is the fourth of those five Levitical offerings. And the Lord Jesus is our sin offering. And then you go back. And you realize, actually, that because of your sin, that there has been a wrong relationship established between you and many people. And so you realize that actually you need to make peace with your fellow man, fellow Jews, fellow people in the community. Not only you need to have you not only need to get right with them, but you need to get right with the Lord as well. There needs to be a restoration of that relationship to the Lord. And so you go to make an offering, and this time it's called a peace offering, which is an offering to bring a repair, to bring a completeness to your relationship to the Lord and your relationship to everybody else. And so you make your offering, and you realize actually that now the relationship between God and between man has been restored. And you are so touched by what has happened to you that you realize actually now that you need to live your life for the Lord. That you can no longer live it to yourself, but you need to live it to the Lord. And so this time you bring what the Bible calls a meal offering, the second of the Levitical offerings. If you've got an authorized version of the Bible, it will say a meat offering. It ain't got no meat in it. It's a grain offering. It is the only one of the five that doesn't demand a blood sacrifice. And the reason for that is because this is to do with our offering of, with an offering of life for how it's lived. Jesus was that meal offering, that grain offering. And when you, as that Jew, bring that offering, it is so that you can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to live the rest of my life for you. And if you look at Leviticus chapter 2 and the various constituents of that grain offering, you will find that it all speaks about how we should live. So, for example, friends, that grain offering, the flour is to be fine. There's to be nothing coarse about it. It could be sieved and nothing left behind. And friends, there's to be nothing coarse in our lives, as there was nothing coarse about the Lord Jesus and the way that he lived. There was to be no leaven in that grain offering. Leaven in the Bible speaks of malice, wickedness and false teaching. And there's to be no leaven, no unwholesome influence permeating our lives. That's the kind of offering that the Lord wants from you and from me. So going back to my picture, right, you've come this time and you've brought your grain offering, because in offering that grain offering, you are effectively saying, Lord, I want to live my life in a way that is not coarse, in a way that is right, in a way that there's no malice, no wickedness. And incidentally, no honey was to be with that grain offering either. What's honey speak of? No sickly, sweet sentimentality, nothing like that. Honesty and reality, that's what the Lord is looking for. And then you go away again and you live your life for the Lord. And then actually you realise that there's one other thing that actually that the Lord is putting upon your heart to do, is really whether in life or in death, you want to commit yourself to the Lord absolutely, wholeheartedly, no matter what is involved. And so this time you come and you bring your offering, and this is a burnt offering. And those words from Leviticus chapter 1, which God spoke when he first of all came down on that tent, he spoke about this burnt offering. And the thing about this burnt offering is that it was voluntary. It was not compulsory. The other offerings were compulsory at certain times, but the burnt offering was utterly voluntary. Well, my dear friends, these five things speak of the life, in the case of the meal offering, and the death of the Lord Jesus. He is our sin offering. He is our peace offering. And he offered himself freely to the Lord. So he is that burnt offering as well. And I wanted us to break bread after the sermon, because I want us to remember, as we break bread together, how the Lord Jesus offered himself up so willingly for us. Of course, these are not the only offerings. These are the five major ones, but there are other offerings as well. You read about a drink offering if you read your Old Testament. I'm bringing these to you partly because I don't want any of you to be frightened or put off by what you may read in the book of Leviticus. You may think, I can't understand this. Well, that's why I'm trying to explain it to you, at least to give you a little bit of a key, so that when you read these things, it doesn't simply go over your heads, but it begins to make some kind of sense. So a drink offering is what the Bible also, the Old Testament, speaks about. And friends, all these offerings have application for us as well. So in the New Testament, Paul talks about himself being poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. The Old Testament speaks about a wave offering and a heave offering. And those were to do with particular parts of the body of the animal that was being sacrificed. They're actually part of the peace offerings. Take the heave offering. Why is it called a heave offering? Well, if you were a priest and you offered the shoulder of the ox or the cow or even the sheep, you'd have to heave it up. It was quite hard work. It's the shoulder. It's the shoulder part of the animal that is heaved up to the Lord. And the shoulder speaks of responsibility, particularly. And then there were offerings made by fire as well. Holy burnt. And all these offerings had different regulations, and they all speak of certain things spiritually. But I want, really, that's by way of a big introduction, to come to 1 Chronicles 29. Because there we find in a lot of the verses a different kind of offering that is touched on, actually, in Leviticus chapter 1. And I've mentioned it with, as far as the burnt offering is concerned. But it's called the free will offering. Or the voluntary offering. And I want to look at that really in a minute from this chapter as far as how it applies to us. Of course, the Lord Jesus freely gave himself to the Lord. But maybe just before I do, to give you some other scriptures that speak about an offering freely. Maybe to put some of the other offerings that I've mentioned in a certain context here. Let me just read to you Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 18. There's no need to turn to it if you don't want to. The Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron, his sons, and all the Israelites, and tell them, any man of the house of Israel or of the foreign residents in Israel, so that means the Gentiles, some Gentiles, and you and I have come into that, who presents his offering, whether they present free will gifts or payment of vows to the Lord, as burnt offerings, must offer an unblemished male from the cattle, sheep or goats in order for you to be accepted. And of course, that speaks much, doesn't it, of the Lord Jesus. He was that unblemished male. There was no blemish, there was no fault in him. But a free will gift, as it says here, is part of your burnt offering. It's something that you freely give to the Lord. And then a little bit later, three verses later on, in verse 21, when a man presents a fellowship sacrifice or a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill a vow, haven't talked about that, but there is a place for giving making a vow to the Lord, or as a free will offering from the herd or flock, it has to be unblemished to be acceptable. Jesus is not only our perfect high priest, he's also that perfect sacrifice. When the Bible speaks about an offering, it's the meaning of the Hebrew is a kind of spontaneous, free, abundant, voluntary giving of ourselves to the Lord, or what we can offer. And there are three things I particularly want to mention, three ways in which you and I can give ourselves freely, wholeheartedly, without holding anything back to the Lord. The first thing is, the first way is for the work of God. So not only I'm moving away from the sacrifices now, this can apply to other parts of life. So in Exodus chapter 35, when God is giving Moses something of the instruction for how the tabernacle should, that tent that I spoke about, how that should be built, he looks for contributions from the people in various ways. But he doesn't compel them to give. He tells them what they need to bring. But he says, I want you to bring these things freely. So Exodus 35 and verse 29 reads like this. The Israelites brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts prompted them to bring something for all the work that the Lord, through Moses, had commanded to be done. Will you notice that little phrase, whose hearts prompted them to bring? So there's no compulsion here, but from all the people, if God moved in their hearts, they would then bring what God was looking for. Now, friends, it wasn't that they were having a big discussion or thinking to themselves, yes, I think I'll bring to the Lord whatever. If God had said, I don't want the whatever, there would be no point in bringing it. Whose heart prompted them to bring what God had told them was required for the building of the tabernacle. That is a very important principle. And it's one that we find right at the beginning from the book of Genesis, where there are two men and they both seek to bring an offering to the Lord. One is called Abel, one is called Cain. And Cain brought, it says, an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. I don't know whether you have ever felt a bit sorry for Cain or a bit wondered why God did not accept his offering. Here is the reason. Cain brought an offering from what he could produce from himself with his own ability. And so he brings it to the Lord and he says effectively, I'm paraphrasing, you won't find it quite like this in the book of Genesis, but he's effectively saying, Lord, this is what I've done, this is what I can produce, here's the best that I can bring, here's my offering. And God does not accept it. Why? Because God does not want the best that we can bring. God does not want anything other than what he puts it into our hearts to bring. And really what he's looking for is something that reflects the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Which takes us then to Abel, who was the second man. Abel brought a lamb for sacrifice. And we read in the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. Which means, if it was by faith, because faith comes by hearing, that Abel heard from God. If you like, again, you won't find it quite like this, but I'm going to put it like this to make the point and to help for you to understand it. Abel went to the Lord and he said, now, Lord, I want to bring a sacrifice. I want to bring an offering. Now, what do you want me to bring? Put it in my heart. And the Lord said, this is what I accept. And here in Exodus chapter 35, you have exactly the same principle. God gives the requirement, God shows what he wants, and then he puts it into the heart of the people to give. My friends, I'm bringing these things to you because really of what it says in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. I think for the sake of time, we'll move away from my second point, and I'll bring this here from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you'd like to be looking there, please. We read from verse 6, but I want actually to introduce this with a challenge from verse 5. David, by this time, like the people prepared for the tabernacle, David prepares everything for the building of the temple. And then at the end of verse 5, having said what he's provided, he says, now, who will volunteer to consecrate himself to the Lord today? I think the authorized version says it's something like this. Who will offer themselves as a free will offering? Who will offer themselves freely to the Lord? My friends, in view of the fact that the Lord Jesus has been the fulfillment of those five offerings, in view of the fact that he has given himself freely for you and for me, so that you and I might have a relationship to God, God effectively puts the question to us, who among you will offer himself freely to the Lord? Who among you will offer herself freely to the Lord? And in verse 6, let's look and see what happens. In verse 6, as a response to that question, first of all, it says, the leaders of the households, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. I don't think they had a conference about it. I don't think they were waiting for anybody else. They simply responded freely and willingly immediately. Friend, don't wait for somebody else to respond to this kind of call before you make a response. Don't effectively say, I'm not going to give my life to the Lord and devote myself willingly to him. I'm not going to give myself as that free will offering to the Lord unless Joe Bloggs does it, or unless whoever else it is does it. I'm going to do this in conjunction with somebody else. Friend, no, whatever the cost of it, you may be on your own doing this, but make that offering to the Lord. Offer yourself willingly to the Lord. Notice that these people, these leaders here, they led by example. They weren't so busy doing the work of doing the king's work, it says. These officials were in charge of the king's work. They weren't so busy with life and with what the king had given them to do that they were effectively saying, well, actually, this kind of service for the Lord, that's somebody else's province. I'm going to leave it to them. I've got other things. I've got more important things to be doing. I don't despise and doubt for one moment that your work is important. I don't despise and doubt for one minute that 101 things that you may do is important. But the important thing above all else is that you respond to that question. Are you willing to volunteer yourself to the Lord? Are you willing to give yourself freely to Him? Don't be distracted. And verse 9, how did these people give? It wasn't just the leaders. Verse 9, if you look there, it says, then the people rejoiced because of their leaders' willingness to give, for they had given to the Lord with a whole heart. You'll see in a minute or two, actually, that the people give, but the people respond. But they rejoice because of the leaders' willingness to give. They had given with a whole heart. My friends, if you look down a little bit further on, and of course, these things have a habit of moving, don't they? Just when you want them to, you just find it. Well, you'll see somewhere in that passage, it says that the Lord tests and tries the heart. And the Lord is looking not just for a half-hearted or a partial response. The Lord is looking for a wholehearted giving of ourselves to the Lord. Where we effectively say, Lord, I don't know what this is going to cost me, but I'm going to commit myself to you. It may determine where I live. It may determine who I marry or don't marry. It may determine my job. It may determine all sorts of things. But Lord, I'm going to commit myself to you. I'm going to give myself to you with a whole heart. And then, sorry?
Verse 17.
Thank you very much indeed. Verse 17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and that you are pleased with uprightness. Thank you. The Lord tests our heart. So friends, you know, we need to be real. We need to be honest with the Lord and genuine in how we approach this. And then we need, looking at verse 17, we also need to give with an upright heart. David goes on to say, I have willingly given all these things with an upright heart, a genuine heart, a righteous heart, if you like. And thank God, you know, he doesn't look for sinless perfection. He doesn't look for every I to be dotted and every T to be crossed. Don't be the kind of person, don't be the kind of Christian, if you are one, who says, well, I'm just going to get these things sorted out, first of all, before I give myself wholly to the Lord. There's a proverb, it says this, my son, can I add my daughter as well? Both sexes. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. It's the heart that the Lord is looking for. And then verse 14, why am I bringing this? What is the basis on which we're to commit ourselves to the Lord like this? Why is the Lord giving us the challenge to offer ourselves freely to him? David says this, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Friend, isn't it amazing to you, it certainly is to me, that the God who created everything, that the Lord Jesus who died for you is actually looking for you to give yourself freely to him. Who are we that we should give the Lord anything? Everything that we have. My friend, everything that you are, your gifts, your personality, your opportunities, God has given them to you. They are all from the Lord. And God is humbling himself and saying, now, will you offer yourself freely to me? Will you devote the rest of your life to me? A few moments ago, I was addressing my comments to those who are Christians. Can I address a question to unbelievers? If there are any here who know, and you know you don't know the Lord, The Lord is saying, I've died for you. I've given myself freely to you. Now, will you give yourself freely to me? That's what it is to be a Christian. It means to hand over your life, lock, stock and barrel. Everything comes from God. My friend, you are not doing God a favour by committing yourself to him. He is God. He doesn't need you, but he wants your companionship. He wants that fellowship with you. There's another reason, another remarkable thing in verse 14. For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand. For we are foreigners and sojourners in your presence, as were all our ancestors. My friend, why not give your life to the Lord? If you don't, Christian or not a Christian, if you don't devote yourself to the Lord, what good is it going to do you? It says here, we are foreigners and sojourners in your presence. You don't know how much longer you've got to live. You may be here for a few more years, and maybe here that God will give you 70 years and 10. But then after that, who's going to remember you? Eh? Who's going to remember me? I came for a short time and then I'm gone. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger, a sojourner in the presence of God. Your life is just an empty shadow that appears for a short time. There is only one way to make it significant in eternity. And that is if you devote yourself willingly to the Lord. It really is. So are you holding anything back? Are you giving God a half-hearted commitment? Give him your life as a free will offering. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope, it goes on to say. Friends, if you live your life without God, you have no certainty, no hope, no direction. Lord our God, all this wealth that we've provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. Everything belongs to you. So my encouragement, friend, is to offer yourself willingly to the Lord. There are numerous occasions, and I, for the sake of time, I haven't looked at them all by any means. There are numerous occasions elsewhere where you can read of how the people offer themselves willingly to the Lord. And it's tremendous when they do that. You'll find one example of that, for example, in Judges chapter 5. The battle against the Midianites, and it was going very badly for the Israelites. And what is almost the first thing that is said is that the song of victory afterwards praised the Lord because the people offered themselves willingly. And it was because they did that the battle was won. Friends, there are battles that you and I are involved in. There are battles that you and I are involved in because we're part of the UK at this particular time in history. There are battles that you may be involved in with family, friends, whoever. What is the Lord looking for? He can give you the victory as long as you give yourself freely and willingly to the Lord. Psalm 110 and verse 3. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. This is the day of the Lord's power. Are you going to offer yourself willingly to him? Well, if any of that rings any kind of chords in your, strikes a chord, ring a bell, those are the phrases. If any of these things strike a chord or ring a bell in your own heart and you say, Lord, I want to devote myself to you, then respond to him. Or it may be that you're aware that you're holding something back. Confess it to the Lord, get it right with the Lord, and then give. Or it may be that even as I've been talking, that you realise that you're far from God and that the Lord is calling you to give yourself freely to him. Now is a good opportunity to do it. In a moment we're going to be breaking bread. If you know the Lord, you are warmly invited to remember the Lord's free will offering of himself at the cross. please do join with us in breaking bread and in taking the juice, which of course represents his blood. Shall we pray, please?